strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Ring. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score! Touchdown! Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
Well, there's the radio that Kyler used on Saturday to call on the plays, Wolf, to the other QBs, right? Cliff Kingsbury talking today, saying with a smile how, quote, I just wanted him to know that, hey, this stuff ain't easy.
Yeah.
Every now and then, quarterbacks will shake their heads when I'm calling in the plays, says Cliff. So he's like, all right, go ahead, big dog, there you go. And then there's the radio that we're on this evening for the next hour. Let's see here. It's show number 571 all time in the history of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Paul Calvisi here. Ron Wolfley there.
You know what's beautiful about it as well, Paulie? We actually have some things to talk about that pertain to the game of football on the football field, do we not, Paul?
I was about to say, let's see here, 90-plus players in camp and about 90-plus storylines in the span of a week. I mean, storylines, we have headlines, we've got a little bit. We've got the return of guys we didn't expect, like, oh, Max Williams to start off today, hashtag mustache, love seeing Max Williams out there. I mean, Wolf.
Pauly, what was that, honestly, first of all, before you go off of Max Williams, what was that mustache that he had going right there? Pauly, you, from time to time, have been known to grow a nasty-looking mustache, I might add. What was that all about?
Well, first off, you have the fullback club. I'm not going to say, you know, anything negative about the fullback club like you do about the mustache club. You know, the likes of a Drew Stanton in the past, a Carson Palmer.
Okay. Drew Stanton was the worst.
I said earlier, the leader right now, all you know, across the country, the mustache power pole is Matt Carpenter of the Yankees. Google that up, the infielder.
Yes.
And then you had Max Williams say, Wolf, I mean, there's always got to be that guy who keeps it light during the drudgery, right, in the of a training camp, and that guy is Max Williams. What he says or what he's wearing on his upper lip.
You know what's so amazing about it, too? You're talking about one of the most dangerous human beings on the face of the planet when he's actually in between those white lines. Max will light you up, Paul. I know you've never been lit up, Paulie. I know you don't know what that really feels like. It's not a very nice experience. Let's put it that way. And honestly, that mustache is nefarious.
Don't make me break out the high school game film from our game against Santa Teresa.
Don't go Ronnie Lott again. So, please don't do that, Paul.
They activated Max Williams off the pup. We see that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff flying around today. So that started the day. In terms of personnel to end the day, they signed a wide receiver by the name of Marcel Aitman because we also have some injury news mixed in there, like Antoine Wesley, who looks like he's going to miss at least the next week as they try and evaluate his groin and his hip. He's had an MRI. Zach Ertz left the field today with a calf strain, so we'll see what's up with that. Speaking of tight ends, Trey McBride, he missed his second straight practice. Doesn't sound like it's a big deal with a back. They want to make sure he's good to go for the preseason opener next week at Cincinnati. Marco Wilson dealing with a groin. We'll get to more Marco Wilson and what the head coach had to say about him. So yeah, well, there's a lot going on. And then there's the former host of this show, DJ Humphries, putting the big in a Big Red Rage with the big dollars. How about your reaction to his contract extension?
You know what, Paulie? In the National Football League in the year of our Lord 2022, you need three offensive positions. You've got to address three, and you've got to have three really, really good ones if you want to have a good offense. Number one, as we all know, Paulie, it's franchise quarterback, right? So you would agree with that, of course. Even you,
yep.
Paulie.
You
would agree with that. You know you need a franchise quarterback if, in fact, you want to have a good offense. Well, I think the Arizona Cardinals have that, of course, in Kyler Murray. You also need a wide receiver one, Paulie. You need a guy in today's NFL where you're throwing the ball and they're making the rules so easy to throw the ball and easy to protect a quarterback, and protecting the quarterback literally when he's getting hit or sacked. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You need a wide receiver one out there, and I think the Arizona Cardinals have that in DeAndre Hopkins when he's healthy and ready to go.
Thank you, Bill O'Brien, team MVP of the Cardinals 3 years ago.
And, Paulie, you need an offensive tackle. You need a left tackle, to be precise. And that's what the Arizona Cardinals have now with DJ Humphreys. They locked him up, of course. They added, what, 3 more years onto his contract right now. When you find a left tackle that is better than average, let's put it that way, when you find a left tackle that is in the top third of the league, you go ahead and you sign him to an extension.
He started 49 of the last 50 games for the Cardinals. The one game he missed, COVID. He's a two-time team captain. But think about DJ Humphreys.
He's a dog, Paul.
Yeah. And think about DJ Humphreys, though, as a rookie, 2015, when he's a first-round pick, and by his own admission, was immature.
Yes.
He was asked in front of the media if the 2015 version of DJ Humphreys would have believed he just earned yet another contract extension.
Definitely surreal. I think just, you know what I mean, thinking back over the whole thing, you know, if you had told me this in 2015, that first, you know what I mean, that first rookie minicamp, that this was going to be the case 8 years later, I probably would have laughed at you. You know what I mean? But being on this side of it, man, it's definitely sweet, man, being able to, you know, secure my future here and know that I'll be able to be here. I always wanted to play for one team, so knowing that I'm able to be in that position and continue to keep that dream alive is huge for me.
So the reports say he's set to earn this season $21 million. That's up from $15 million. But they lowered his cap hit for this coming season to $12.5 million. So that creates almost another $7 million of cap space for this year.
Oh, yeah.
So what does that mean? Are they going to extend some of the current guys like a Byron Murphy or a Jalen Thompson? Or might they go out on the open market looking to bolster another position group,
or
perhaps
might
from
they
someone
even,
from the outside?
Yeah, Paulie. Or might they even look at Marcus Golden and say, hey, you know what I mean? Maybe we're going to do something right there. I have no idea, Paulie, what they're going to do. But it is nice that they freed up some $7 million right there. You know what I love, Paulie, in regard to this offensive line as well? This is a veteran offensive line, yet it's not decrepit by any stretch of the imagination. This is a veteran offensive line, yet you can look at these guys. Think about it, Paulie. 4 of the 5, of course, coming back. 4 of the 5 from last year coming back. And then 3 of the 5, they've played together for years when you think about it, right? DJ Humphreys and Justin Pugh and Calvin Beecham now, they've played for years. I really, really like the continuity on that offensive line and the new addition of Will Hernandez alongside of Rodney Hudson. That really fills me with an awful lot of good feelings, Paulie, because they needed to shore up that interior O-line.
You said it earlier, no QB, no chance in the NFL. That's 1A. 1B would be no offensive line, no chance on offense. Doesn't matter how many weapons you might have. If you have a terrible offensive line, you're going nowhere. So Cliff Kingsbury knows the importance of a left tackle like DJ Humphreys.
He brings a lot of juice, a lot of leadership to our team and offense, and he loves to play the game. So you can feel that out there with offense, and really big fan of DJ. When we got here, I think people were still trying to figure out if he's going to make it in this league, and he's really taken off and become a real integral part of what we're trying to do here.
And you mentioned it. He's a dog. I mean, as big as he smiles and as good a time he has and as great a sense of humor he has during the week, Monday through Saturday, on Sunday, he is a different dude down on the field between the white lines. And now he has company in that regard in the new right guard, Will Hernandez. In fact, you had a moment with Will Hernandez earlier today or last couple days, right? Didn't you sit down with Will Hernandez?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Paulie, I believe that was today. Yes, there it was today, no doubt.
Sources confirm
Hernandez,
it was today.
Yes. Paulie, 336 pounds. He told me what his weight was. I was like, are you 340? Because I like him at 345. I'm just joking, Paul. I'm just joking. But the 340, it sounded really, really good when you looked at him because of the refrigerator
Terminator-like structure of Will Hernandez and the body. That is a square dude, Paul. You know, I talk about this all the time, how square a dude is. Will Hernandez is a square dude, man, a wide butt.
What was your old saying that this is back in the day, and this is old school football, but you got the advice from your older brother who had already spent 5 years with the Steelers as a rookie. What was the advice, Wolf? And I don't get off on it. Just the basic piece of advice going into camp as a rookie.
Well, Paulie, it was number one, shut your mouth. Number two, he told me respect everybody. And then number three, Paulie, he said pick a fight with the toughest guy on the team.
Because Will Hernandez just had a skirmish with J.J. Watt. I'm just saying, if you're going to pick somebody out on that field, 99, and you want to make a statement to your new teammates, they got into it. I mean, they're rooting and a tooting a little bit, right? It wasn't quite womping and a stomping. They cut it off. There was
no,
a lot
they
of
weren't.
Yeah,
they,
you know.
Yeah, but you know what, Paulie? That's going to happen. You know what? Honestly, football is an intense game. You're literally trying to drive another dude into the ground. That's your intent. That's what you're trying to do, and you're doing it with malice, dare I say. And if you're not, what are you doing out on the field?
And you know what? He's also doing a solid for the starting left guard. Here's Justin Pugh, asked about the arrival of Will Hernandez earlier today.
I love having Will here. Will replaced me in New York, and he was the scrapper there. It must be like if you played left guard in New York, you just have to fight. Because now I don't have to fight. Will's taking over that role, man. He's the enforcer out there. Let my old ass, you know, take a couple of plays off and have to go beat up D linemen. It's been awesome. He's a great dude, great personality, great in the locker room. I couldn't say enough good things about Will. I'm real happy he's here.
I've counted three scraps so far. Will Hernandez against three different guys at three different times. In fact, I'm going to come up with a new hashtag. You know how they like to say Detroit versus everybody? It's no. Will versus everybody. That's my new hashtag. I'm going to get a T-shirt going. Forget the prove it everyday T-shirt. I'm going with Will versus everybody.
Paulie, did I tell you he was a brawler? I told you exactly when he showed up. When the Cardinals said, you know what, we're signing Will Hernandez, I said, you know, they just signed a brawler. This is a guy that is known for his run blocking, of course. He's going to have to continue to work on his pass set. I think Cougs is really helping him. Talking to Will Hernandez today, he was talking about how much help he's really got from this veteran offensive line, bringing him along where he's the baby on this offensive line at 5 years in the league. Think about that, Paul. Will is the baby. He said he's learned so much from all these other guys. They've helped him so much. And that resonates with me because I remember being in that running back room when you had guys like Otis Anderson and Stump Mitchell. I'm talking about pros. I'm talking about some of the best to ever do it. Man, they helped me so much inside of that locker room. And Will Hernandez, here he is at 5 years in the league. Yeah, this is a veteran offensive line, and I'm bullish on it.
And look, for all the needs we talked about in the offseason, Wolf, the last 5 months, corner and pass rush, right guard was a need. That was a liability last year. Justin Murray went down, and the Cardinals never had a solid answer at right guard.
Yeah.
And it showed up at the worst times, including the playoff game. And so when you're in a division with Aaron Donald, you got to solidify that position, period. And the Cardinals like to think they've done just that with Will Hernandez. Hey, episode 34 of the Dave Pasch podcast featuring Cardinals running back, the Pro Bowler, James Conner, available now wherever you get your podcasts and via Twitter at PaschPod. All right, speaking of pass rush, you're asking yourself, where's it going to come from minus Chandler Jones? Well, it doesn't have to be from the edge. Doesn't have to be via the blitz. Are we all forgetting about a difference maker who might be that guy this year? He is next on this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Snap to Lance. He's going to rush up the middle, and he's brought down by Zach Allen at the 22 for a loss of three on the play. Snap to Stafford. They get the play off. Straight drop back, has time, pumps. Now it's hit and sacked by Allen. Back at the 29-yard line, and the Cardinals force a punt. Lance to throw from the pocket. Now steps up, gets hit by Zach Allen and sacked at the 46-yard line. Big number 94 has made a couple plays here today. Back to throw Dalton. It's a screen, and it's picked off. Allen on the far side's got it at the 30, at the 20, at the 15, and tackled by Dalton at the 11-yard line. And the ball comes out, and it's scooped up by Zach Allen at the 5 and into the end zone for the touchdown.
Well, we're definitely putting the big into Big Red Rage right now. The aforementioned Zach Allen joining us, all brought to you by Santan Ford. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and the Cardinals' Big D lineman. And, Wolf, I feel like we should go full disclosure right off the top, considering that you tried to book Zach's dog.
What are you talking about,
Your first Paul? Request for this segment was actually Bean, Zach's dog, but we couldn't get through to the publicist, you know, after Cardinals' flight plan and the whole Instagram page and everything, Zach. So, I mean, the popularity of your dog these days is remarkable, is it not?
Yeah, no, it definitely has popped off. I did not expect any of this, so, no, it's pretty funny to see it.
What kind of dog are we talking about? Sorry, Paulie, because I did not see what you're talking about. Sorry, Zach.
Yeah, no, I have a Bernedoodle, so he's half Bernese Mountain Dog, half Doodle, so it's nice because he doesn't shed, but he's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Is it a big dog?
No, he's only like 40 pounds.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's not too big, but he acts big. He jumps around everywhere. He still thinks he's a lap dog. But
what do you attribute the popularity to, though? I mean, seriously. Come on now.
I mean, he's adorable. I think it's impossible not to love him. So, yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about training camp right now. How's your training camp going, Zach?
It's been great. No, it's awesome. I think, you know, it's been really cool for me personally, just coming off the surgery and, you know, how much better I feel compared to, you know, how I felt last year. You know, it really cleared up a lot of things for me. And then also working with Coach Burke has been awesome, just learning his style and, you know, using what he's been teaching us. I think, you know, it's given me a lot of success so far and helping me with a lot of production. So, you know, I definitely am excited to, you know, use it in the games now.
How much did the injury impact you last year? I mean, now you can tell us. Like, how many games were you dealing with that?
So I really had it the whole season. So it was kind of stemmed from the high ankle sprain that I had my second year in the league, and then I just kind of rushed back into it too fast because I wanted to get back, you know. So I really was supposed to be like a 6 to 8 week injury, but I came back in three that second year, finished the season, and then I just wanted to, you know, really build off the momentum because I started playing well towards the end of the year. So just, you know, full off season, and it just got kind of, you know, wear and tear. And then finally when we got to, you know, that Christmas game versus Indianapolis, it was kind of like, okay, I think we need to take a look at it. And we realized how bad it was. But, you know, luckily, you know, we got a lot of tape and we got a lot of Toro, so we were able to make it work, you know.
Because we heard the montage there. I mean, you made a lot of plays, despite the fact you said, I think, earlier in this camp, you felt flat-footed a lot of last
year. Yeah, no, I really did. Like, I mean, after playing a game, I legitimately couldn't walk on Monday, you know. So I would be, you know, my girlfriend would have to help me down the stairs. And then, you know, just it was kind of a mess, but, you know, just trying to get it ready. And towards the end of the season, I wasn't even practicing. You know, it'd be kind of hopefully that Friday practice, you at least get some reps in. But yeah, no, it was, now it's amazing. And I feel like an athlete again. You know, last year it was kind of like the fact that I was able to kind of do what I did with it was, you know, obviously gave me some confidence about, you know, playing this league. And that's why I'm so excited about this year, you know, knock on wood, stay healthy and just show what I could do with, you know, with all this progress.
You know, when I came into the league, I had a really, really good coach. I had good coaches around me. And yet at the same time, the impact that some veterans made on me, some veterans inside that running back room, what they made on me was significant. I know J.J. Watt, you're really tight with J.J. Watt. Talk about his impact on you.
Yeah, he's helped a bunch, obviously. You know, from the football standpoint, obviously, I mean, he knows as much about, you know, football and being productive in this league as anybody that's ever played. But a lot of, you know, the off-the-field stuff, like, you know, with my surgery, it was kind of funny. He had his surgery, and then a few months later, I had mine. So he basically kind of walked me through everything he did because, I mean, his recovery was pretty remarkable to come back in only a couple months from his shoulder surgery. So I kind of picked his brain, and, you know, he helped me out a bunch. You know, I got my surgery and was in Wisconsin, so he was giving me, you know, all of his best cheese curd recommendations. But definitely, you know, he knows what he's doing, you know, on and off the field. And you know, it's nice that he's not, you know, kind of being shy about that knowledge. He really, you know, tries to teach us, and I think that's why he's such a good leader.
D lineman Zach Allen, our guest on the Big Red Rage. So where were you when the scrap broke out between J.J. Watt and Will Hernandez the other day?
It was funny because that was like the – so J.J. and I were in together, and that was our last play, like, before, you know, we were going to switch it out. So I started walking. All of a sudden, you just hear the, you know, the horns going. So I was like, what the heck? So you got, obviously, you're going to go help. And, you know, the D-line, we're a close group, so everybody, you know, starts running in. But it was probably one of the softer fights, I'm not going to lie. You know, I mean, they just, you know, it was just a big push-in match, and, you know, no punches were thrown. So we haven't had a good scrap yet. So, I mean, obviously, coaches don't want that, but, you know, it's always good to have one or two.
Did you grab someone like hockey, you know, or baseball? You kind of grab someone and you shove
them
around.
Yeah, you try to grab from behind, just break it up. But I don't think anybody was really serious about fighting. So
here you are now. You're getting ready, of course, to enter into preseason. I know we've got another week here to go before you're actually going to play a preseason game. But are you a goal guy? Are you one of these guys that say, you know what, I'd like to do A, B, and C this year? Do you set goals for yourself personally?
I mean, obviously I have expectations, but I'm not necessarily like I need to hit this number, this. Because for me, it's a big, like, if I look too far down the road, then I kind of get lost in it and you're just overthinking things. So for me, the thing that I found the most success with is literally taking it day by day. So, you know, if we have practice today, that's my focus, is what am I working on in practice today? What's my goal for, you know, what pass rush move do I want to work? What do I want to work in the run game? What's this? And then kind of go from there, and then you kind of just let it stack and build, and hopefully you just stack a bunch of good
things
together.
So you go micro instead of macro.
Yeah, no. Once you think too big, I mean, it's just too general, I feel like. So
I love that.
Because this is a big year for you. It's a contract year. Yeah. So if you start thinking too much big picture, that could mess you up, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that's kind of cool, too, is, you know, obviously, you know, guys, there's a bunch of us that are kind of in the same position. So we're able to kind of calm each other down and bounce ideas off each other, you know, especially, you know, like my class, you know, draft class with JT, Merv, you know, we're all really close, so it's nice to talk to guys like that. So
talk to me a little bit about that defensive line room and some of the guys in there and your expectations, because there's a lot of people looking at it now, and when I say this, I'm talking about experts, quote unquote, on the outside that are looking at the Arizona Cardinals defensive line and consider that to be a weakness, to which you say,
yeah, that's just wrong. I mean, I think honestly I think, you know, it's been unfortunate. We were really young for the past couple of years, I would say. And I think in this league, especially the play, you know, inside, it's so much different than college. And, like, in college, if you're a wide receiver or a corner, you're faster. Like, you know, speed translates, you know, at the level. Here, it's just the speed and the size. It's just something that you just – no one's really seen before. So even the best offensive and defensive linemen, it usually takes a couple of years for them. And, like, especially my draft class, if you look at a lot of the top D linemen, a lot of them it took kind of late second year, third year to kind of figure it out and put the pieces together, you know. So that's just the way football is. But, you know, I think we got a lot of great guys in the room, and I think we're a really deep room. Obviously, Leckie, Rashard, Mike, I think this offseason they absolutely killed it. So it'll be, you know, really interesting. Obviously, you have JJ being JJ, and you know, then there's a lot of other guys that are, you know, in the same spot. I think we just have a lot of guys that are, you know, really excited to play ball and play fast, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's not just the D-line. There was a analytics site, I think DVOA, the other day, that projected the Cardinals, who finished number 6 in overall defense last year in their analytics, their metrics, they project them to be 28th this year. I'm like, wow, what's going to dictate whether you finish top 10 or bottom 10, you think, as a defense? What's going to be most important for this D, you think?
Yeah, I think if we just execute, you know, I feel like last year, you know, we will, after kind of, you know, doing the self-scout this offseason, you know, when we were had 11 guys doing their jobs, I mean, no one could do anything on it. Where we got into trouble is you have an MA here, a missed assignment here, you know, making mistakes here. That's kind of where it killed us. So this offseason, obviously, guys are really focused on knowing their job and performing at a high level. And for a lot of us, I mean, this is now year 4 in the defense, which is, you know, really encouraging. And I think, you know, it'll be as we've seen in camp so far, it's been a lot smoother, and I think the way we're playing defense is it's just a lot faster, and it's just a lot more physical, which is great.
As you well know, Zach, over the last couple of years, you guys have gotten off to some pretty good starts over the last couple of years and some really bad finishes over the last couple of years. Why do you think that is, Zach? And can you do anything about it as well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a young player. I mean, this is technically year four, but I missed my entire first year, so... I mean, I've been around some ball. I haven't been around, you know, as long as some other guys, so I might not be the best guy to answer that question. But I just know that, you know, for us, the talk is just, you know, day by day doing our job. And I think, you know, if this year we really embrace that, you know, I think we'll do good. And I think also last year, I think we had so much success, like, so quickly. I'm not going to say it came overnight, but, you know, you go from 8-8 to all of a sudden, you know, you start a season 7. That's, you know, doesn't really happen a lot. So that kind of gets in your head. Now that we kind of have that wake up call, how, you know, you have to be on point throughout the entire season. They're not just, you know, there's no easy games. I think that will be, that was kind of, you know, obviously, you know, you wish you did better last year, but I think that'll help us a lot this year.
Boy, that really resonates with me when I listen to Zach say that, because honestly, that is so true right there. It's one thing to talk about it, but actually having it happen to you, boy, that really is a learning opportunity.
Yeah. Well, and some other guys have mentioned it, some other team leaders, Buda Baker and so forth. Maybe the attention to detail, maybe it waned a little bit at 10-2, et cetera. So, yeah, consider it a lesson learned, you would think, you would hope. You hear him before you see him. Your new D-line coach, Matt Burke, he's really vocal. What's that been like, having that new voice around?
It's great. It honestly has been a seamless transition. You know, he's really high energy, and, you know, just the style that he's teaching, it's a lot of fun to play in. It's just, you know, go fast and go be violent, and, you know, we'll correct all the mistakes after, you know. And, you know, obviously, you know, we all really like Buck and, you know, appreciate everything he's done. But, you know, it's like you go from one great D-line coach to another great D-line coach. So we were really fortunate to have him, and, you know, it's been awesome to play for him.
Are you particular as to what side you like to play, right side, left side? Where exactly do you like to be across the front seven?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, just the way our defense is, you know, you kind of got to know everything, and you play, you know, across. But I know, now I probably, you know, become a little bit more comfortable playing on the right side just because JJ is more comfortable on the left. And, you know, it works out well that, you know, we're both in our most comfortable spots.
You like being over the guard or over the tackle? Or over the center, dare I say.
Yeah. Did it all last year. Yeah. No, it's kind of a mix. Whatever, you know, it depends on the look, the down, obviously. You know the certain looks where the play is going to be made. So you obviously try to cheat it a little bit. But, yeah.
And as we wrap it up with Zach Allen, who's the guy you would least want to fight on this roster? Or who's the guy you would want on your side as your wingman if you walked into a biker bar full of Hell's Angels? Who's the dude you'd want with you on this team?
I'd take Lecky. Lecky's a big boy. He's, you know, 300 pounds of torso, so we'll take that.
That's good. All right, that's good.
That's great.
You got Lecky and you got your dog, Bean. Yeah, so, you know,
exactly.
Life is good these days.
Yes.
There you go. Zach Allen, everyone, on the Big Red Rage as we continue. All brought to you by Santan Ford. We are Santan Ford.
To Lawrence, he'll throw, short set, looks left, throws left, and broken up, incomplete, nearly intercepted on the far sideline by Marco Wilson, who stepped in front of Marvin Jones.
What a great play by Marco Wilson right there.
Michelle running left, and then he's caught down on the far side of the 10-yard line by Marco Wilson.
Oh my goodness, what a great tackle by Marco Wilson, the corner.
Dumps it off short left, it is caught at the 25-yard line, a huge hit on the far side by Marco Wilson. He absolutely levels the receiver.
Marco Wilson comes up and, I mean, delivers a blow. Oh, pro strong grasshopper.
The fourth round rookie out of Florida last year ended up playing starter snaps pretty much the entire season. We know he has a talent in the measurables. You know he has a pedigree. I mean, his dad coaches DBs for a living. His older brother has been an NFL DB as well. The question is, okay, can he show that sort of consistency? Can he take the next step? to really appease the decision makers and make him a bona fide starter for maybe the next 7 or 8 years, potentially. The Cardinals have a need. Can he fill that need? And guess what? We got some news on the Marco Wilson front earlier today that we'll get into here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. We were just joined by Zach Allen. How about some impressions real quick on Zach Allen? By the way, kudos to you, Wolf. He said, you know, the coaches don't like the fights, but in his words, quote, it's always good to have at least one real fight.
That's right, Bully. I mean, honestly, once again, you'd heard me talk about it all the time. It really sets the tone and the tempo, of course, for a football team. And a lot of times, it will relieve some pent-up pressure inside of that locker room. I know it doesn't seem like that would be the case. I know that you would think, oh my goodness, you're going to fight one of your teammates? You're going to fight him? Are you kidding me? You're going to fight. You know what happens the vast majority of the time after you fight him? You totally hug it out after it's over, and you kind of laugh at each other, and then all of a sudden, everyone just, the respect level returns to a locker room. I know that I talk about it all the time, but yeah, that certainly can happen inside a locker room, and I think Zach Allen kind of alluded to that.
Well, he said their new D-line coach, Matt Burke, his one message is, go be fast, be violent, we'll fix everything later. He wants a physical D-line, and it was amazing to me. My last takeaway was just how banged up he was last year with that ankle, that on Mondays he needed help from his girlfriend to get down the stairs. He could barely walk, and somehow he was still playing on Sundays.
Yeah.
And so if he's fully healthy, because we know his rookie year was wiped out by the neck injury for the most part, if you're looking for a guy who can really take that next step, I know it's year four, but I just get the sense that Zach Allen has so much more ceiling to reach and productivity to bring to that defensive front.
Yeah, the other thing, too, I liked about our conversation was the fact that he likes playing on the right side of the defense. And J.J. Watt, of course, likes playing on the left side. That's very, very interesting right there. Two guys that are very similar.
All right, so the two cornerbacks that we went into camp thinking, all right, these are the two guys, Byron Murphy Jr. and Marco Wilson. And what's been interesting, Wolf, is we've since learned, and we started the offseason this direction, and then the tragic passing of Jeff Gladney, you figured that, you know what, Byron Murphy was going to be an outside corner, even though they prefer him inside. Well, guess what? Cliff Kingsbury's been pretty vocal. They would really prefer Byron Murphy Jr. to be a slot corner, which just heightens the importance of a Marco Wilson being one of those outside corners. But earlier today, here's what Cliff Kingsbury had to say. And the setup on this, to some degree, is that some of the younger corners were wearing mitts. As in, they let's just say they had been holding and grabbing, and so they put some mitts on them so they couldn't do some of that. And that was sort of what the question revolved around. And then listen to where Cliff Kingsbury took it.
I think that's a position that where guys got to step up. Really like some of the veterans we have at different positions on defense. Murphy's really come a long way. Marco, we want him to step up and be an every down starter, but we'll see. I think the jury's still out, and the rest of those young guys, somebody's got to step up and help us out.
Paulie, as soon as I heard that, man, I just want to jump in here. As soon as I heard Cliff Kingsbury say that, you know what, Marco, we want to see him actually step up. You know, we want to see this right here. You know what I thought of immediately, Paulie, was Cliff Kingsbury and the development of Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach. It was the, Paulie, this is what a head coach is going to do. He's going to let some veteran guys from time to time know that, hey, listen, you know what, your reps may be getting cut. He's got to do that. Now, I'm not saying he's doing it here with Marco Wilson. What I am saying, young guys that they want to continue to develop, you're going to say, you know what, hey, he's got to step up. He's got to prove it to us, basically. This is what he's saying to Marco Wilson right now. I think it is a tactic that a coach uses, especially a head coach uses, to get young guys to develop, to challenge young guys and make sure they don't get complacent, Paulie. Stop and think about it. Marco Wilson threw 2/3 of last season. I'll even go 3/4 of last season. He was as good as a rookie corner could possibly be. And then he kind of tailed off at the end of last year. And I don't think they want him getting complacent at all. He was a starter, and all of a sudden, he tailed off at the end. I don't think they want him to get complacent. I know that that's a thin cornerback room as well, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're trying to bring a little urgency to Marco Wilson, because he can look around that cornerback room as well and see that he doesn't have a packed room in terms of competition.
Because when camp started, it was early in camp, and Cliff Kingsbury is fielding a lot of basic questions about, okay, where are the competitions on this roster? And he said Marco Wilson was, quote, in the mix to be a starter. He was not giving him a starting job, even though he did exactly that most of last year as a rookie. He said he has to earn that job. And then Vance Joseph was asked if Marco Wilson needed a big camp. And Vance Joseph told me, well, I don't really necessarily think he needs a big camp because, you know, he played so well last year. So it's almost like a good cop, bad cop going on between the head coach and the defensive coordinator. But then Cliff Kingsbury doubled down again today after Marco Wilson missed with a groin injury. Look, yeah. I think there's some general frustration with the position itself, just in general. Last couple of days, the head coach was irritated with all the corners grabbing and holding. Hence, you saw the mitts out there and three different guys at least today. But then hit zoom out. As you said, the position depth isn't there. I mean, God forbid the Cardinals have a real injury to one of their primary guys at corner. They could really be hurting. So the time is now. Otherwise, there are guys out in that market that I imagine might be a time sign.
Yeah, you know what, Paulie, too? Once again, I just don't gloss over this. This is a big moment for Cliff Kingsbury to come out and say that about a guy that was a starter for the Arizona Cardinals last year in a room that is thin this year. For him to actually say that, to challenge Marco Wilson, this is a growth spurt from Cliff Kingsbury, as far as I'm concerned. I can almost hear Bill Belichick. Paulie, Bill Belichick used to do the same thing. He would let people know in the media, of course, you know, ask me about this position, or ask me about, you know, what kind of battle we've got going on here in the, you know, inside linebacker position or whatever it may be. He would set it up, and then all of a sudden he'd just give you a very dry answer. And it was always about, you know, he's got to play. He's got to step up and play. He's got to prove it to us he can do that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's all he would say, Paul. And then he would back it up. This is a growth opportunity right here for Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, if you spend 10 years in the league, does a message from the head coach to the media get to the player in the locker room?
Yes. Yes, it does, Paul.
Okay. Think of two hosts of this show, The Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell. He was going to Pro Bowls. Remember Bruce Arians was loath to give Calais a real compliment?
Yes.
And
yes.
Then DJ Humphries and what Bruce Arians said DJ Humphries' rookie year.
Knee deep, Paul.
Yep, which to this day, DJ does not appreciate.
Yes, correct.
So, yes, there have been many messages sent through the media, and you would qualify today's comments about Marco Wilson in that position group when he says the jury is still out and someone has to step up and help us out, quote-unquote.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, hey, Cardinals season tickets available now. Go to azcardinals.com/tickets for more info, azcardinals.com/tickets. All right, Isaiah Simmons, big storyline, big position. We'll talk about that next on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
They run Henry off the left side, and he's dumped immediately. And it's Isaiah Simmons knifing into the backfield to take him down. What a play by Simmons.
You want to talk about playing downhill. Isaiah Simmons coming from the backside. The weak side inside linebacker making a play on King Henry, baby.
Tannehill takes the shotgun snap, backs up, has time, steps up, throws over the middle, deflected into the air, and it is intercepted by Isaiah Simmons at the 45-yard line. Isaiah Simmons with a heads-up play.
I know one of the first questions after he was a first-round pick in your mind, Wolf, was, all right, how physical is he? We know he's an athletic freak, a unicorn, but will he put his nose in there and stick his face mask in there into the fray? And the answer to that right away you realized was what?
Yes. Yes, he would. Ball was the first thing I was looking for. And you know what's interesting about that? If you talk to Bill Davis, that was the first thing that the inside linebacker coach for the Cardinals was looking for as well.
Interesting. Interesting. So, okay, there you go. He answered that question. Now the question is, where exactly is he going to play? And what does that mean for the Cardinals' defense? What does that mean for the opposition? Because us media types were there at camp the last week or so. Like, wait a minute, there's Isaiah Simmons on the edge. There he is in the slot. There he is in the middle of the defense. There he is in the back end of the defense playing center field safety. All right, so Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, was asked just to describe what position exactly is he playing, Coach?
Right now he's our star, you know, our star backer or safety, whatever you want to call him. He's playing well, you know, but we'll see. That's what camp's for, you know, to kind of figure out how far we can go with him playing certain spots. A star backer is a guy that plays linebacker, a little bit of safety, a little bit of dime. I mean, he's a star position, and in this scheme, it can be a lot of places.
Your thoughts on that? Sounds like where needed, where he's going to be the most lethal and effective is where he's going to be.
Yeah, Paulie, first of all, let me just say this quickly right now. I no longer have these dreams of him being the weak side inside backer, okay, where he's just, you're going to put him there and he's going to be Thomas Davis. They're going to move him around. This is something that they have already come to a conclusion about. They're going to move him around today, just today, in today's practice, Paulie. You already said it. I saw him on the edge. I saw him in the slot as a corner. I saw him line up in the slot as a corner. I saw him as a weak side inside linebacker, and I saw him playing safety in the middle of the field, man free. He was the deep safety in the middle of the field, man underneath on a blitz. They had blitzed six guys, and he was the free safety in the middle of the field, man free. It is hysterical to me. I don't care where they put him now. I just want Isaiah Simmons to make plays. Plays that change games. Games that can be won because Isaiah Simmons is making plays. That's what I want to see from this young guy.
Yeah, be a playmaker, be a difference maker. But you're right, he's not exclusively an inside linebacker, and it doesn't sound like he'll ever be. So, you know, I mean, we might want to fire up Let It Go from Frozen at this point, Wolf,
right,
okay?
Paul. And that's what I've done. I have let it go.
Yeah,
just
so
make
they,
plays.
They asked him, Isaiah Simmons, about his star backer role.
Feels like what it was last year. Not too much more, not too much less. I like the new name for it, though. I feel like it's kind of fitting. So I feel like it's a lot of similarities to Clemson. So obviously that's how I got here, and that's what I was comfortable with doing all my college career. So being able to do it at the highest level is, I guess, a lot of courtesy to VJ, you know, for allowing me to do that, and, you know, also the team for working with me and, you know, being able to help me out, guys like Buddha, guys like, I mean, JJ, everybody helping me out on all different levels just to be the best version of myself.
The only thing better than star backer would have been grudge backer, Paul, all right? The grudge backer. This guy's got an edge. Have you noticed, Paul?
Oh.
Isaiah's got an edge to him. I mean, he got into it with DeAndre Hopkins. Somebody he says is like his best friend on the team.
Which was really intriguing to hear because, I mean, D-Hop was hot.
Yes,
I mean, he fired the football at Isaiah, hit him square in the back between the numbers and the two.
And why was that, though, Paul? Why did he do that? Because Isaiah came over and was jawing at him. He's got an edge. Paul, I saw a little check down to Eno Benjamin, and there was Isaiah Simmons. He was playing inside linebacker. He dropped into a zone cover. They checked it down in front of that zone to Eno, and he went and whacked him, Paul, and then threw him, chucked him after. You know, I mean, he didn't have to do that. All he had to do was come up and tag him with both hands. He didn't have to chuck him the way that he did, and yet Isaiah did. He's got a little something-something coming down the side of his neck, Paul.
I use a hockey term for him. After this camp and what I've witnessed so far, I'm calling him an instigator. You're from Buffalo, Wolf. You know the guy in hockey who skates around, and he's just starting stuff. You know, he's giving guys elbows, and he's a hip check here and a face wash there. That's Isaiah Simmons. And just like some of the coaches, you hear him before you see him because he's always chirping and yapping and starting something. And it's just the way he plays. It's his adrenaline going.
Yeah, Pauline, can I also say this, too? I was filled with hope. Hope because I really, today was a day where I saw Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins playing inside linebacker together. It didn't matter what the down and distance was, Pauly. They did it in rundown situation, first and 10, second and 1-6. They did it in third and obvious pass situations. They took more reps together today as the inside linebacker. Now, they moved Isaiah all over, don't get me wrong, but they took more reps today together as inside linebackers in certain down and distances and personnel groupings. It didn't matter. They took more reps than I have seen them take in any other practice. as the inside linebackers.
And by the way, did we not see Zaven actually fill the hole, really read and react in a couple of drills, correct?
Yes, he did, especially the inside drill where his eyes were on the inside. Man, when he sees it and knows what to do, he's a force. I was encouraged watching Zaven.
Yeah, I mean, just like, look, remember what Jordan Hicks told us last year, the now departed middle linebacker and team captain? He said he would sit in the meeting rooms, look at Isaiah Simmons, and look at Zaven Collins, go, man, we've got a couple of legit freaks here.
Yes.
I mean, these guys are huge, they're fast, so if you can get Zaven Collins up to speed.
Now they got to play like it, Molly.
All right, special thanks, as always, to our senior broadcast manager and producer, Jim Omohundro, technical director, Zach Larson. How about Zach Allen, the big D lineman, and his dog, Bean, the Burn-a-doodle. Really well done.
Whatever.
Yeah. Ron Wolfley there. Paul Calvisi here. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Your little dog, too.
Number one, Kyler Murray.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.